Good morning. It's April 19th. I think it's April 19th. The days run together anymore. I always wondered in the past when people who are retired said, I don't know what day of the week it is. I now clearly understand what that means. When you get into that Wednesday, Thursday, and you can't figure out whether it's Monday or Tuesday or Friday, as the days just blur together, as we get out of certain routines that we used to live in each and every day. But I do want to say good morning to everybody. God bless you. I do want to offer you some encouragement this morning as well. During the past couple of days in my daily Bible reading, I've gotten to the book of Job. And one of the things that I picked up from the book of Job is at the beginning, where we have Satan and the Lord speaking with each other. And Satan actually says in Job chapter 1, he says, does Job fear God for nothing? Satan replied, have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? And I read that this past week, and I came to that realization and thought process as well, as God has a hedge around Job and only allows things to come into his life that God allows to come into his life, that same hedge of protection is around each and every one of us. That's something that I would like for each of us to be able to hang on to this morning. It's something that I want to pray for each and every one of us this morning as well, as a blessing over us, that God's hedge of protection that we see in Job chapter 1 is there for each and every one of our lives. So as we begin this morning, join with me in prayer. I want to ask for God's blessing and God's blessing on our lives, and then we'll jump into the book of Haggai and see what God wants to say to us this morning. Heavenly Father, you have brought us here this morning as a church family in a virtual way to hear from you, to allow your Holy Spirit to speak into our lives and to guide us and direct us. And we come before you because you are our God. You are the one we love. You are the one we serve. You are the one we follow. You are the one we worship. It is your majesty that we declare, your grandeur, how beautiful and wonderful you are. And you are the creator of all things, and creator of this universe that we so much enjoy, in this world where we see your beauty displayed. And we praise your holy name this morning. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the great work that you continue to do in us. And during these weeks where we find ourselves shut in and secluded from other people, there are times where we can be still and know that you are God. And in our quietness, to allow you to speak very loud and clear to our hearts and draw us into a deeper, more meaningful and closer relationship with you. And as we walk through these days, Lord, I ask for that hedge of protection around my life, around my family's life, around my loved one's life, around my church family's life, around my friend's life. You know each and every one of us. You know each and every one of us in a way, even beyond the way that we know ourselves. So where we are this morning, Lord, and where we'll be this afternoon, and wherever our feet may take us, Lord, place your hedge of protection around us. Wear a face mask can do nothing for us. Your hedge of protection is all the divine protection we need. And so may we find ourselves being obedient to you and find ourselves being obedient to the rules, the regulations, the laws that are around us. But above, Lord, we're placing our faith in you for that hedge of protection, that you will keep us from all harm and you will allow us to walk in your way and allow us to be a light shining for you, and that our light will shine before men, that they may see our good deeds and then so come to glorify our Father in heaven. Do that great work in each and every one of us. I know you are able. You are the God who heals. You are the God who equips. You are the God who carries us. We thank you for doing that in our lives this morning, Heavenly Father. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And thank you for joining with me in prayer. I do invite you to turn to the book of Haggai. It's one of the minor prophets. You'll find that in the back of the Old Testament when you start to get to a lot of the shorter books of the Bible. And so right after the book of Zephaniah, if you find Habakkuk, Zephaniah, you'll find Haggai. and then Zechariah, and you get towards the end of the Old Testament. I want to look at a question this morning that we'll come to in the book of Haggai, and it's a very long question, but one God asks of us. Is it time for yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains a ruin? And so let's look at the book of Haggai. I'm going to read to you the entire first chapter. It's 11 verses, the first 11 verses of the book of Haggai, and then we'll go from there. In the second year of King Darius, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. This is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say the time has not yet come for the Lord's house to be built. And then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains a ruin? Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, you have harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages, only to put them in a purse with holes in it. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountain and bring down timber and build the house so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. You expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you have brought home, I blew away. Why, declares the Lord Almighty? Because of my house, which remains a ruin, while each of you is busy with his own house. Therefore, because of you, the heavens have withheld their dew and the earth its crops. I called for a drought on the fields and the mountains and on the grain, the new wine, the oil, and whatever the ground produces, on men and cattle, and on the labor of your hands. And I'm going to keep on going through the chapter. Then Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the whole remnant of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the message of the prophet Haggai, because the Lord their God had sent him, and the people feared the Lord. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave this message of the Lord to the people. I am with you, declares the Lord. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the priest of and the spirit of Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of the whole remnant of the people. They came and began to work on the house of the Lord, their God, on the 24th day of the sixth month in the second year of King Darius. I know that was a long passage of scripture to read, but there are two big points for us to look at this morning. And I do need to give you a little bit of background so you understand where we're at with this question. Why are you yourselves living in your paneled houses? Why my house, while this house remains in ruins, referring to the temple. And so in the book of Haggai, I need to give you some dates. The book of Haggai was written about 520 BC. And so what's important for us to remember is that King Cyrus, not King Darius, King Cyrus issued a decree in 538 BC for the Israelites to return back to their homeland and rebuild the temple of the Lord. So if we're going to even go back a little bit further, the Israelites were taken into captivity around 605 BC. So now we get this 605 BC, you move forward and you get to 538 BC, and they're given instruction by King Cyrus, go back home and rebuild the temple of the Lord. Here is a foreign king, not a Jew, not an Israelite, who recognizes that the Lord God is so important that the Israelites need to go back and rebuild this temple so they have their place of worship back where they would worship the Lord and their house would be rebuilt. That's 538 BC. Haggai writes this in 520 BC, 18 years later. So 18 years go by from when King Cyrus says, go back. And now we have a completely different king, King Darius. And the Israelites still have not started to build the house of the Lord. I want to share with you how important the house of the Lord is from 1 Kings chapter 8. Solomon writes, he says, the Lord has said that he would dwell in a dark cloud. And I have indeed built a magnificent temple for you, a place for you to dwell forever, referring to Solomon's temple that he built. And here we have the temple that was destroyed. So all of the Israelites come back, and after 67 years of living in captivity, they're given permission to go back home for the sole purpose of rebuilding their center of worship. And so they all load up. And if you go back to the book of Ezra, you learn some things about how important this was. They go back with 5,400 articles for worship in the temple. They go back, there's 42,360 people who are returning for the sole purpose of rebuilding the temple. They have 1,100 pounds of gold with them, they have 3 tons of silver, and they have 100 priestly garments. All of it is there, and they get back and they lay the foundation for the temple of the Lord, and then they stop. 18 years go by. 18 years go by. They get busy with life. They get busy with building their houses, planting their fields, growing their crops, taking care of their families, raising their children. They get busy with the busyness of life, and 18 years go by. And then Haggai comes forward as a prophet, and he says to the people, he says, is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains a ruin? They were supposed to come back and rebuild the temple and then take care of their own lives. And so what does this have to do with us? This whole story of Haggai and this big question, what does it have to do with us? Everything. I believe this question has everything to do with us. And I want to bring it to light with a verse from Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, where Jesus says these words. He says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Let's go back to the question of the day. Is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains a ruin? And is this where we're at? Is this where we're at in our own lives, where we're seeking everything else and we get busy with a lot of different things in our lives, but we're neglecting the spiritual house that God wants us to continue to build and to build in our own lives? And so all of us get busy building our paneled houses, and the house of God, our spiritual house, quite often remains in ruins. And I think next month, we say things like this. Next month, I think I'm going to join a Bible study. Or maybe next January, I'm going to try to read my Bible through in a year. I think at some point, I'm going to study the book of John and understand things about faith and who Jesus is and allow that to grow my faith. Or, you know, when my kids grow up, I think I'm going to teach one of those Sunday school classes. Building our spiritual house quite often becomes something that I'm going to do tomorrow. Next week, I think I'll start praying every day. Oh, maybe next week. Maybe the next week. I'm going to start reading my Bible when we get back to church. You know, I think when they start those church services up again, I'm going to start going on a weekly basis. And our spiritual house becomes something that we push off down the road of something we're going to do tomorrow. And the question that Haggai is asking the Israelites about the temple of God, their spiritual house at that time, why are you living in your paneled houses, your fancy houses? You're living in your fancy houses, and the house of God is in a ruin. And so as Christians, we got to go back and look at our own lives and say, is everything else in our life taking shape the way that we want it to, but our spiritual life still lies in ruins? And so as believers in Jesus Christ, we can no longer afford to delay until tomorrow what God wants to do in our lives today. And so I want to go back into the book of Haggai. I want to pull out two things for us to look at and to understand in the book of Haggai of what happened to them because they were not building the house that God wanted them to build. And so the first one is that they have a failed fulfillment in their lives. And the first stop that we get to is everything is going wrong for them. And we pick this up in verse 5 and verse 6. Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You planted much, but you harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not worn. You earn wages, only to put them in a purse with holes in it. I could add a whole lot of things to this for us as well. You put money in your 401k, and you go and look the next day, and only half of it's there. You buy toilet paper, but for some reason, a mouse went and ate 25 rolls of it, and now you don't have any at all. We invest in so many things in our lives, and we see little bits of destruction hitting our lives. We put money aside, and we save up, and then the car keeps breaking down. And so things in our own lives start to fail apart. It's a failed fulfillment. We keep chasing a desire, but that desire never really fills us. I need to go on a bigger and better vacation. And then at the end of the vacation, all I have is a big bill. It's a failed fulfillment in our lives because we're chasing things that really will not give us fulfillment in our lives in the way that it should. We train and study for our dream job, and then nobody is ever even hiring. Everything's breaking around us. Nothing works out. We actually double down on these things, and we work harder. We study harder. We push harder. We save more, only to see more things failing around us. And failed fulfillment occurs because we're building one house and not the other house. We're building a house that is paneled. We're building a house of everything that is physical around us, and we're neglecting the spiritual house that is in our lives. And this is where we end up so focused on this life and so focused on everything this life has to offer that we don't put the same effort into our spiritual lives and everything it has to offer. We're living in our paneled house while God's house lives in ruins. And hopefully you see the failed fulfillment. And when our fulfillment is what we accomplish, where we volunteer, the accolades that I receive, the diplomas that hang on the wall, now what we have, our family, our friends list, how many friends we have on Facebook, all of it in the end will all continue to fail and all continue to fall apart and will be failed fulfillment for us. And that's what Haggai is calling out for the Israelites. He's saying you keep chasing after all of these things, but you're not getting your fill. You need to get busy building the house of the Lord. In Matthew 6:19, Jesus warns us, a very stern warning. He says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Don't build up your treasures there. They're going to lead to failed fulfillment. And from a failed fulfillment, it will only change. It will only change if we can change our focus and we can move to a fixed focus on God. So this is going back into Haggai, picking up at verse 7. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Again, he says, give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountain and bring down timber and build the house so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored. And I'm going to jump forward and I'm going to get to verse 12 where everybody came together and the voice of God cried out to Zerubbabel and Joshua and cried out to them and they were stirred by the Holy Spirit. And they got to that point where the whole remnant of the people obeyed the word of the Lord and obeyed God's message and got busy building God's house. When we come to the point in our lives where God opens up our eyes and we see where we're at in our lives from a spiritual perspective, we face a point of decision. We either double down and keep doing what we're doing, or we stop and we fix the focus in our lives. I was going through a box of junk the other day. It's a good time to go through boxes and say, oh, we don't need this, we don't need this, let's throw it away. And I found some old lenses for a telescope that we used to have that was my son's. And so I was digging out all of these old lenses and looking in them. We don't even have the telescope anymore. That has long been thrown away years and years ago. But I found all these old lenses. And if you look in those lenses, everything is just blurry. Without the telescope, they're worthless. And I picked out another lens and I looked in that one. I picked out another lens and I looked at that one and I played with them. And they were completely out of focus. They were blurry. They were worthless. But when you use the telescope in the right way and you look up into the sky, you can see all kinds of beautiful things. And I remember taking that telescope, one of the few times we actually used it, and looked at the moon and how beautiful it was and looked at different stars. And when a telescope is put together and put together properly and set the right way, you're really focusing on the things that are beautiful. And our lives run the same way. We chase dreams and we chase fulfillments and we chase satisfactions and we build our houses around us and we build all the pleasures of life around us. And our focus on God gets out of focus and our spiritual lives get out of focus. And the prophet Haggai in Haggai chapter 1 is calling the Israelites to get back into focus, to fix the focus on God, and to get busy building that house that the Lord could be worshiped in. And God's calling back to us as well and saying, fix your focus. Start building the spiritual house that God wants you to build. He says in that verse, he says, go up into the mountains and bring down timber and start building the house. Go. Start doing something. So what is God saying to you in regards to building that spiritual house? Is he saying to you, go to the kitchen table and open up your Bible and start reading it. Read a couple verses every day. Read a chapter a day. Or is he saying to you, go to your prayer closet and start reaching out to me and start building a relationship in prayer? Or is he saying, gather your family around and at least pray for dinner every day? When you sit down to that meal at the table, take the time that we're in right now to gather together as a family and ask for God's blessing over the food and give thanks to God for his provision that we actually have, and to be able to start moving forward in that spiritual building, in the spiritual house that God wants us to be. You know, is he saying to you, take a night and turn off the TV and just talk about what God's doing in our lives? Talk about how God is speaking to us during this time, in this time of silence. Practice loving others by taking that extra pack of toilet paper that you hoarded and go knock on the neighbor's door and ask them if they need a roll of toilet paper. Whatever it is, be practical and be real about the spiritual house that God wants to build in your life. God wants to build his kingdom and build it in our lives. He says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all that other stuff will be added unto you. Fixing the focus takes some effort on our part. Go up to the mountain and get some wood and start building. That's what he told the people, the Israelites, in regards to building the temple of the Lord. Fixing the focus is going to take some effort on our part. I'm going to have to go to the kitchen table and open up my Bible and read a chapter. I am going to have to purposefully turn off the TV one night. I am going to have to purposefully wake up 15 minutes early so I have a little bit more time to pray. I am going to have to get out of a selfish mode and realize there's other people in need around me and be a blessing to other people. All of those things that we can do to allow God to speak into our lives and to fix that focus where we can follow him the way that he truly desires. I want to tell you a story. It's not a happy story. It's one that comes from the Bible, but I believe it speaks really to what was going on with this question about why do you live in your paneled houses while this house remains in ruin. And it's found in Luke chapter 12. It's a parable that Jesus told. And so in Luke chapter 12, starting in verse 16, Jesus tells them this parable. He says, the ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. And he thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. And then he said, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, be merry. But God said to him, you fool. This night your life will be demanded from you. And then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up for them. Up things for themselves, but is not rich towards God. We all have time to do and accomplish what we want. There's a reality. All of us have 24 hours in a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Doesn't change for any of us. And so all of us have time in our lives to accomplish and do what we want. The question that I believe when God asks and says, why are you living in your paneled houses while this house remains a ruin? Is he's asking, Ralph and everyone else, with all of the time that you have, how much of it are you investing in your spiritual house? And how much are you investing in chasing other things? And I believe God's saying to each of us with this question, to seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. And then all these other things will be added unto you. And so the question does come back to us. Is it time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains a ruin? Haggai chapter 1 ends with, and they came and they began to work on the house of the Lord Almighty, their God. On the 24th day of the sixth month in the second year of King Darius. It's very interesting in the book of Haggai that we know exactly when they all came together and they started working on the house of the Lord. Are you ready to start working on your spiritual house? I think it'd be a really neat thing for us to be able to say, and all of us came together on the 19th of April, 2020, And we started building the house of the Lord, our own spiritual house. And we got busy with what God wants to do in our lives. Philippians 1:6 tells us all of this. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. That's the good work that God wants to do in you. He wants to do a great and wonderful work in each of your lives. He wants to do it starting today. Will you let him do it? Will you let him do that good work in your life? Let's close with a prayer. I want to close with a prayer that's taken from Philippians chapter 1. And it's a prayer that Paul had for the church in Philippi. And I believe it's a good prayer for each of us today. So if you'd join with me as we close together in prayer. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of the righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Heavenly Father, hear our prayer. Do a great and mighty work in us, and continue to do a great and mighty work in us. Grow us in the way that you want us to grow. Help us to build our spiritual house. And when we make ourselves available to you, fill us with your Holy Spirit. Fill us with the love and grace that comes from Jesus Christ our Lord. And may we grow in the way that you desire. May we find ourselves each worthy when we stand before you someday. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you and God keep you, and may his face shine upon you. And until we get together again, stay safe. Love you. Bye.